Potentially.
I don't know, but you go ahead.
Okay. Thanks for the invitation. I'm going to kind of go to like another level because we're going to, I'm very preoccupied by the art field within sort of broader social political developments that we've been experiencing in the last 30 years. So as you know, capitalism has been a state of crisis since like the early 1970s. Antonio Gramsci, already in the 1920s, referring to the new developments in Western culture, spoke about a mix of consensus and coercion that were operating to uphold certain privileges of, you know, the owners of economic and financial and other capital. And when he says this coercion, this is like what we all know is the police and force. And what was interesting about Gramsci's theory is his idea of consensus production. This is saying that the cultural field, that there is like culture is being actively used to win the consent of people. And this, of course, was a reaction to the labor upheavals of the 19th century when, because of the union movement, the worker movement, suddenly things started getting out of control for the bourgeoisie. And what's been happening in the last, let's say, 30 years with, like, the transition to new forms of production, we could say that in Western countries, this coercion is becoming more invisible, or is like going into the third world through imperialistic policies. And although there's still a lot of violence in our, you know, in the big cities, it's just a bit more hidden. And the accent is falling more on consensus production. And this is working via, you know, what kind of Tobias was referring to, depoliticization. Like depoliticizing fictions are being produced via schools and institutions, but also via like what Kluge and Neck, two German theorists, call the new public spheres of production. And these would be, on the one hand, like the consciousness industry, so the mass media, also advertising, but also the corporate culture, so the culture that people have to have to adapt to and even somehow embody in order to survive, in order to make money, in order to have a salary. They have to adopt these imperatives that their bosses imply upon them or impose upon them. And art is a part of the, you know, the consciousness industry more and more. I mean, it's losing its autonomy. This whole idea that like the post-war, like Clement Greenberg is now, I think, totally discredited, and art is being more integrated into fields like tourism. And so it's interesting for me as someone who's active in the artistic field and you know, who believes that art should kind of not be hermetic, but sort of try to address the outer reality, to see how an artistic practice can, in a way, do what only it can do from a political perspective. And that is to put into question and to attack the instances of power within the art world, like the way that the art world works as a bridge that aids the architects of neoliberalism. And for me, this is actually a function that art is playing. Art has become a testing field, like a laboratory for hegemonic processes that then, you know, they begin in the art world and then they're exported into advertising and they're also exported into management strategies and so on. And that's sort of the project that I've done with Tobias and a few other people who are here, is to do what only art can do. Not to put into question the world. And of course, art can do that, but it's more interesting from an idea of like, what are the competencies of people who have spent a lot of time involved in art? It's to put into question the world of art